and Democracy. In 1977, Professor Matai founded the Green Belt Movement in Kenya. The movement has planted more than 30 million trees throughout Africa since then. You have the floor, Professor Matai.
Mr. President, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, members of the United Nations family, representatives of the civil society, ladies and gentlemen, as a UN messenger of peace for environment and climate change and an advocate for the MDGs, it is a privilege to share this forum with your excellencies. As we all know, our human history and civilizations have always been intertwined with the trees and forests. The way we use them, relate to them, protect and conserve them, and the way they enhance our spiritual and cultural and social well-being. The call to protect them has been long and consistent, with the most recent being at the UN Conference on Biodiversity in Nagoya, Japan, and at Cancun, Mexico on climate change and degradation. We are all familiar with the importance of forests because they are the bedrock of biodiversity and habitats and provide so many environmental services. Then there is the link between peace and forests. So not always obvious, without good governance and equitable distribution of resources like forests, trees and water, it is impossible to permanently preempt conflicts and wars which are fueled by competition over such diminishing resources. Governments and the communities they serve know that they cannot improve the quality of life and maintain peace without managing national resources sustainably, responsibly, and accountably, and ensure that they are shared equitably. Yet it continues to be difficult to galvanize the political will of all governments to embrace policies and programs that prevent deforestation, forest degradation, and destruction of biodiversity and habitats. Why? There is a contradiction here, and that is that many forest-dependent communities that live in the resource-rich forests are poverty-stricken. There is something inherently wrong and unjust with a global economic system that tolerates dehumanizing poverty in regions that are so resource-rich. Why are leaders so slow to embrace solutions that could deal with such inequalities and injustices? As a goodwill ambassador of the Congo forest ecosystem, I thank the British and the Norwegian governments that supported the creation of the Congo Basin Forest Fund, based in the African Development Bank. But it has been very difficult to get more partners to join the fund. Without adequate international support for such efforts, it's very painful to see forests degrade, disappear, and threaten the livelihoods of millions of especially indigenous and forest-dependent peoples. It is even more unfair to force the future generations to inherit such a legacy. In that connection, I'm grateful to the President of Congo Brazzaville, His Excellency Denis Sassou Nguesso, who has offered to host a summit on the three river basins, the Congo, the Amazon, and the Borneo Mekong, on 31st May to 3rd June this year. This is important for the International Year of Forests in Africa. Indeed, we are encouraged by the reports that there is a decline in the deforestation in the world's great tropical rainforest of these three basins. We congratulate the concerned governments, their people and partners. Where there is a political will, commitment, transparency and accountability, there will always be a way to find financial support. We are all working hard to realize the Millennium Development Goals, especially eradication of poverty. My experience with the Green Belt Movement and the women at the grassroots level is that it is virtually impossible to realize many of the other MDGs if number 7 MDG on sustainability is only given lip service. Sustainability of resources like water, trees, and forests is the mother of all other MDGs. Where governments ignore sustainability, they are also only giving lip service to the other MDGs, and it shows. We know that generating national revenue and improving the quality of life of citizens is often the reason governments tolerate destructive activities like logging, charcoal burning, human settlements, and agricultural activities at the expense of forests and biodiversity. But this often only exacerbates the financial and economic challenges the same nations face when they are later confronted by floods and landslides, dried up riverbeds and lakes and water taps, crop failure, starvation, death of human life and wildlife, and the embarrassment of begging for international aid. In such instances, it is because there is failure to recognize the relationship between our human activities and many disasters that follow. That failure is the reason we are here, to continue appealing and encouraging each other to appreciate that, contrary to common mythologies, the gods are not at fault. They are not to blame. Many of these disasters are man-made and preventable. It is not that we do not know, Mr. President. None of us can claim ignorance. We know what to do. Much information is out there in the offices and libraries, and they are constantly being reviewed in seminars and meetings. Although many governments, communities, companies, cities, and even individuals are doing their part at their levels, there is need to intensify global partnership because these threats are real and they are global. For example, we must stop undervaluing and to take for granted the environmental services, forests, and trees provide, especially when they are standing in some remote, poor parts of the world. They are taken for granted and treated as unlimited. Well, they are finite. Therefore, we need to bring into our dialogues and accounting systems their full value and be willing to pay. As we negotiate and make recommendations and agreements, there is need to find a balance between the immediate needs of communities and the common good of all, who depend on forests that are sometimes long distances from where they live. Governments have a responsibility to ensure that the ecological services provided by trees and forests are available for the common good for all communities, including the future generations. In closing, Mr. President, I wish to congratulate governments and organizations, too many to name individually here, that have contributed to the success of so many initiatives, including encouraging green technologies, jobs, and lifestyles, and tree planting activities like UNEP's Billion Tree Campaign. We congratulate the Secretary General of the United Nations, His Excellency Ban Ki-moon, the UN RED Program, and the United Nations Forest Forum for contributing and coordinating all these achievements. Congratulations to all, and may we have a very successful United Nations International Year of Forests 2011. Thank you very much.
I thank Professor Mathai for her statement. And now we shall view